How many of you have ever been stressed out? Raise your hand if you've ever been stressed out. How many today? Raise your hand. All right, no, you don't have to get that personal. But yeah, we get stressed out, don't we? Hey, let me ask something. Did God intend for Christians to live stressed out lives? Yes or no? No, he did not. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. If you're using your church Bible there, the page number's at the top of your handout, 1223. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful. That word careful means stressed out. It means anxious. Be stressed out, be careful, be anxious for nothing. All right? He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. How many of you have ever requested something of God? Raise your hand if you've ever asked God for something. The Bible says that's okay. You need to do that regularly. You need to be making requests. You need to be talking to God about it instead of worrying about everything. Look at verse number 7. There's the promise. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. That's your emotional state. And your minds, that's your mental state. And notice he says, I'm going to guard your heart, your mind, through Christ Jesus. So peace, if it's going to come in our life, it has to come at the root level of our inner spirit. We have to put in place a solid root system in our life, and then when the storms of life blow, we're not going to be swept downstream. And we've talked about the fact that a solid root system really begins with quiet time with God every day. It's just connecting with God each and every day. And you got to carve out the time. Nobody's going to do it for you. So you got to carve out the time to connect with God. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know, and we have to connect with him each and every day. That will calm your spirit. And then the second thing we talked about was carving out some quiet time for yourself. You need that time of rest. We went through last week what the Bible says about how important that time of rest is. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you what? Rest. I'm going to give you rest. And so that time of rest, these are incredibly important. But here's the deal, church. We desperately need a life support system that we can carry with us through the stressful grind of everyday life, because that's where most of us live most of the time. It's that stressful grind of everyday life. And we need something reliable. We need something dependable. We need something that's available at a moment's notice, because what happens is we go out into this world system, and we all know what the world's like, and it's not going to change. Satan's world system is what it is. It will not change until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth, and one day he will do that. But until then, we're going to go out here, and we're going to breathe basically polluted air. And I don't mean necessarily physically polluted air, although that will happen too. We're going to breathe polluted air at work. There's going to be polluted air sometimes in our homes. There's going to be polluted air between us and our spouse. There's going to be some polluted air between us and our kids. There's going to be polluted air with the buddies out on the ball team. There's going to be polluted air at the grocery store, the restaurant, the gymnasium where you go, the school, the college where you go to. Polluted air everywhere we go because of the world system that we live in. So what we need is a life support system that we can take with us wherever we go to help us to have that root system. Now, I want to show you a picture real quick. It's a picture of an astronaut. And you'll notice that astronaut, what does he have on? He has on what? Come on. What's he got on? He's got on a, you said it, spacesuit. Thank you, Xander. He's got on a spacesuit. And that spacesuit is providing what for him? Because if you're on the moon and you're an astronaut and you don't have a spacesuit, are you going to survive? Yes or no? No, you are not. What's he getting in that spacesuit? Somebody tell me, what's he getting? That's right, he's getting some pure air. He's getting some oxygen. If he depended on his surroundings for his survival, he would be doomed. I mean, there's no way he would make it. Astronauts depend on a life support system that they can carry with them whenever they go to outer space, if they go to the moon, wherever it is they go. They depend on that spacesuit so that they can carry with them, wherever they go, the oxygen, the pure air that they need. Well, think about this. As believers who know the Lord, we're going out here in the world system of Satan. We're like foreigners, right? And we're passing through this earth. Heaven is our home. So what would be our spacesuit, if you will? What would be a way for us to be able to breathe in pure oxygen, even in the midst of a polluted world? Well, think about that for a minute. What would the believer's spiritual life support system be? And I want you to think about that And while you're thinking on it, I want you to watch this video. And at the end of the video, you're going to get a little bit of a tip-off, all right? So watch closely. Don't miss it.
A sense of urgency. We are on a looming deadline. It's gonna be a late night.
Can y'all breathe the fresh air right now, huh? Is that not life, amen? I mean, it's like, wow. You notice, though, that there was a tip-off. What's the believer's oxygen? What's our life support system? What was at the end of that video? Exactly. I want you to look at your handout. Look at that real quick. Notice it says in Hebrews 4:12, it's in your handout, for the word of God is quick. That means it's living. It is powerful. And the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it's an offensive weapon that you can use against Satan. Next verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means that God breathed his life into this book. It is God-breathed. And it's profitable. The Bible's profitable to you. For doctrine, it'll provide a belief system for you. For reproof, for correction, it'll show you where you're wrong, and then it'll instruct you in what to do right. It'll instruct you in righteousness. And so I'm just going to say this to you guys. You do not get any better, cleaner, fresher air than this right here. This is it, man. This will provide you good, clean, fresh air. As we take the Bible and as we implant God's word into our hearts, we provide ourselves an internal root system that goes with us wherever we go. It provides peace and stability wherever we go. You go to college, you go to work, you go out with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you're with your husband, your wife, you're with your kids, you're at home. Wherever you go, you can have fresh air like the astronaut in the spacesuit. Wherever you go, as you learn the Bible. And that's why we're so you know, so big on that here at Crossroads. And that's why we still, you know, saturate our messages with the Bible, and we still study the Bible, and we still encourage you to bring your Bible, and we still have the Bible underneath your chair. It's because we believe that as you learn the Bible and as you grow in the Bible, as you memorize the Bible, as you hide God's word in your heart, it does some incredible things for you that literally nothing else can do. Number one is this. Number one, it will change the negative aspects of your personality. The Bible will change the negative aspects of your personality. Now, everyone has sinful and obnoxious aspects to their personality. And I did not think I would get a resounding amen right there. Everyone's like, you know, I can't think of any about myself right now, right? I mean, I've noticed that in other people that they do, but I've never noticed that about myself, right? Well, how many of us have obnoxious things about our personality? How many of us? We all do, right? Every single one. Some of you, bless your heart, you're raising your hand. You're just so humble, I tell you. But how do we get those bad characteristics in our personalities? Well, they come to us in a variety of ways. They come through the genes. You know, hopefully we get some positive stuff from our parents, but unfortunately we get some negative tendencies from our parents too. And it's kind of inherited through our parents. You know, as my kids were growing up, they would do things sometimes that would just irritate me to no end. It was just like, oh, it just drive me crazy. And then all of a sudden, one day the light bulb would go on, and all of a sudden it would hit me out of nowhere where they got that from. From Denise. Right, Caleb? No, unfortunately, it was always me. It was like, oh, I'm the one that does that. I'm the one that got that from, you know? And it didn't hit me at first. And then it would be like, ah, you know? And Caleb, you're going to experience that with your kids one day too, man. Is they're going to just like drive you crazy. It's going, oh, they got that from me. And so sometimes we get those negative, obnoxious things, you know, through the genes. And then other times it's through established negative habits. We just get in habits, you know? And a lot of times it goes back to childhood, really. I mean, a lot of bad habits begin in childhood. For example, if a kid was allowed to pout when they didn't get their way, and they learned if I pout enough, I'll get my way, then, you know, guess what? Do adults pout? Yeah. You don't just all of a sudden one day wake up, you're 18 years old, hey, I don't pout anymore. You know, it carries on. So a lot of times the negative habits that we have go all the way back to our childhood days, just negative habits that are ingrained in us. The third thing is ungodly attitudes and actions that we got into before we were saved, before we knew the Lord. And so we get these things in our life, and these negative aspects to our personality cause us to respond to situations in a wrong way. We just flat out respond in the wrong way to stuff. For example, if somebody's irritating us or if somebody's aggravating us, we blow up. You know, we throw a temper tantrum. Maybe our established way of doing things is we pout, or we get sarcastic, or we get very cutting, or we just get flat out kind of mean. You know, we just kind of get mean-spirited. We yell, we scream. Maybe we curse or swear. We've got these ways that we respond to stuff. Again, through these different ways that I mentioned, the problem is that it causes us to respond to things in the wrong way, and then that creates stress in our life, and it robs us of our peace. Now, let me make this clear. In your handout, it says, this is God's plan. You ready? God's plan is for the believer to change. I want you to write that in. Please, change. You can put it in caps. God's plan is for the believer to, say it real loud, what? Change. That is what the Christian life is all about. I'm telling you, it is. Romans 8:29. Do you know what God's purpose is for your life according to Romans 8:29? God wants to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the areas of your life that don't look like Jesus, God wants to change those areas of your life to where they do look like Jesus. Ephesians 4 talks about growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, Christ begins overflowing in every area of our life. Jesus begins to be seen in every area of our life. He's overflowing in our life. And the Bible says we grow up into Him in all things. So that's God's plan. God's plan is for us to... That was a little weaker than last time, but God's plan is, I'm telling you, I've had you write it in your handout twice already. God's plan is for us to what? Change. I'm telling you. Listen, the excuse, well, that's just my personality, isn't going to cut it. That's not going to get the job done. All right? You are not going to change that way. One time there was a lady, she's not alive anymore, years ago, and so she had gone to different churches, and she said, I just can't make friends anywhere I go. And me and Denise were like, well, why can't you make friends? No lie. She said, I guess it's my obnoxious personality. And I wanted to say, I think you're right. but at least she knew, you know. But you cannot. You remember that, Denise? She remembers that. I could take you to the spot where she said that. But anyway, the excuse, well, that's just my personality. That's just the way I am. You're just going to have to get used to it. I can't change who I am. Listen, that is not going to cut it. God has given us a way to change, and He expects us to change. Amen, church? He's given us a way to change. Now, the only way in your handout, it says the only way you're going to change is you got to renew your mind. All right, write that in there. We have to renew our minds. In other words, we got to change the way we think. I guarantee you, you're not going to change until you change the way you think. And the only way to change the way you think is to get God's word implanted in you. That's it, period. You've got to get, because here's the deal. And we're going to look at a verse in a minute. Our minds have been programmed to think like the world system that we live in, which is Satan's world system. And our minds have been programmed to think that way. We think like the world system that we live in. And the only way to overcome that is that we have to change our thinking. The only way to do that is through God's word. This reveals to me the mind of God. This reveals to me His heart, the way God thinks. The world system, it's easy to see how they think. I mean, we're surrounded by it. We're bombarded by that every day at college, at work, at school. At your job, you are constantly bombarded, TV, Hollywood, magazines, on and on, literature we read, the internet, we're constantly bombarded with Satan's world system and the way it thinks. So the only hope I have to think God's ways and to overcome that and to change, actually see some change created in my life, some positive change, is I got to start thinking the way God thinks. I got to start accepting what God says and believing what God says is true. So I got to somehow get this book, and I got to get it implanted into my mind and into my heart. I've got to get it inside of me. That's my only hope. And, when we do that, we begin responding to stressful situations. We begin responding to things in different ways than we could have never imagined that we would respond. And when the air starts to get polluted around us, we breathe in the fresh air of God's word, and it begins to calm our spirit. When you're at work and problems come at work and you get stressed out and the stress comes into your life, then all of a sudden a verse comes to your mind that you've been studying or that you heard preach or that you've been looking at on your own or that you've memorized, and all of a sudden it calms you down. It's like the fresh air for that astronaut that he's breathing in from that spacesuit. The God's word just provides that fresh air for you. I remember when I was younger, I was probably 30s, I was in my 30s, and our kids were all little, and life was really busy. It was crazy, you know, and I remember thinking, I've got to get my root system a little deeper, and I had spent most of my 20s just studying the Bible, trying to learn what the Bible said. I knew nothing really at 20 years old about the Bible. So I was pretty much square one for me. So in about 20 years old, I really started studying the Bible. And I just started then a little bit later on, and probably in my later 20s, I began realizing that if I'm going to be able to deal with the stress of being in the ministry, raising kids, you know, and all this, I've got to get God's word in me. I got to have a life support system that will go with me wherever I go. So I began to get very serious about memorizing the scriptures. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to make it a goal. I'm going to memorize the book of Philippians, the book that we're in this morning. And I said, I'm going to memorize that book. So I did. I memorized the four chapters of the book of Philippians to where I could recite them without looking at it. And I just did it one verse at a time, just kind of a little bit at a time, just, you know, a bite here, a bite there, and just kind of kept going until I finally had that book memorized. And I thought, you know, I can do this. So then I went, and I believe the next book was Colossians right after Philippians. So I started memorizing Colossians, and I memorized the four chapters of Colossians. And then I went to Ephesians, and I memorized the six chapters in Ephesians. And then after that, and again, you know, I was like, I got to get God's word in me, not just to preach a message, you know, or not just to teach a lesson. I just need God's word in me for the good that it's going to do me. If I'm going to change, I've got to get God's word in me, because there were areas of my life I wanted to change. And so I began to memorize until finally I'd memorize Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians and 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, the first 12 chapters of Romans. And so I got to where I had about 8 books of the Bible memorized. And I cannot begin to tell you what that did for me spiritually. It really was a turning point in my life. I don't know that I would be in the ministry today had I not began to hide God's word in my heart at that time. And you know what the neat thing about it is? Once you hide the Bible in your heart, it's always there. Nobody can ever take that away from you. Now, if you were to, you know, hold the book on me and I was to try to do those 8 books, I don't know that I would get them all perfect, all right? But they're in me. They're there. That truth is in me. And whenever I need it, the Holy Spirit can call that to my mind, which brings me to my next point. We're going to talk about this here in just a minute. But let's go to number two. Number two is, as you get God's word in you, it will help you to rise above adverse circumstances. Too many times we become victims of our circumstances. You know, well, you know, if this didn't happen in my life, I wouldn't be this way. If this wouldn't have happened in my childhood, I wouldn't be this way. If this wouldn't have happened at work, I wouldn't be this way. If my family would be nicer to me, I wouldn't be this way. And too many times we become victims of our circumstances, and God's plan is not for you to be a victim all your life of your circumstances. Our joy and our peace level, where it's just controlled, you know, by our surroundings. Listen, it doesn't matter. The good thing about this morning is maybe you had a rough childhood. Maybe you had parents that really didn't love you. Maybe your dad abandoned you. Maybe you've had friends that have done you dirty. Maybe you've had some really bad experiences in churches before. None of that really matters in the sense that your joy and your peace level does not have to be controlled by your past or by your current surroundings. You see, you do not have to be like a thermometer. Do you know what a thermometer does? A thermometer goes up and down based on the temperature of its surroundings. So you put a thermometer back here, you put it on the back porch, and what does it do? It goes up and down based on the temperature of the surroundings. So, you know, yesterday it probably would be up in the 80s, and then maybe at night it goes down into the 60s, and that thermometer is up and down. And too many times we're like a thermometer. We're up and down based on our surroundings. When God wants you to function as a believer like a thermostat is different than a thermometer. A thermostat, it sets the temperature of its surroundings. And God wants you to be like a thermostat, to where you set your spiritual temperature. People don't set it for you. Surroundings don't set it for you. Circumstances don't set your spiritual temperature. God wants you to be like a thermostat, to where you set your spiritual temperature based upon your intake of God's word. I want you to look in your handout with me at John chapter number 14. All right, it's in your handout. Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things." Now look at this, church. "And he will bring all things to your," what? "Remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." Peace. Now notice how that the Holy Spirit brings the words of Christ to remembrance. And notice the next verse. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be," what, church? afraid. Did you know that peace promise could not have come at a more crazy time in their life? Jesus is just about to go to the cross when he spoke that. The disciples are about to get really afraid, think they're next. They're going to forsake him. They're going to flee. They're going to end up behind closed doors, cowering and hoping that they're not going to die next. This is at a very tumultuous time when Jesus gives them this peace promise. So you know what that lets me know? Jesus is guaranteeing them peace. So that means that the peace that Jesus has to offer has nothing to do with how things are going. The key is in the reminding work of the Holy Spirit. At the very moment of trouble, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to bring back the words I've taught you and that you have heard. But here's my point, is that the Holy Spirit cannot remind you of something that you never knew. When you go to take a test at college, some of you college students out there or high school students, when you go to take a test in school, there's no way you're going to remember something that you never heard and that you never studied. There's no way. You cannot call to remembrance things you never, ever knew to begin with. And so what he's saying is, you're going to take God's word, put it inside of you, and then the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to remembrance right when you need it. In order for the Holy Spirit to remind us of his words and bring peace in the midst of adverse circumstances, though, his word must be in us. We have to know it. We have to learn it. We have to hide it in our heart. That's why it's really, really important that you learn the Bible, that you really focus on that. Do whatever it takes to start getting God's word inside of you. Then the Holy Spirit can remind you. You know, Pastor Rich, you just lost your father. And I remember I went through that at 29 years old, and I lost my dad very tragically and very suddenly. And I'm sure, Rich, you can tell me the exact same thing that I could tell you, and that is in that moment of grief, in that moment of sorrow, and in that moment of tragedy, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind the words of Jesus Christ, doesn't he? And in fact, you even said that your dad quoted that verse that Jesus spoke, where he said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Your dad could have never remembered that had he not hid that in his heart. See, he would not have known that. His dad had comfort at the time when you need it the most, when you're about to die. And Pastor Rich's dad had comfort because he had taken the Bible and put it in his heart. He knew the words of Christ, and the Holy Spirit brought them to his remembrance. And I guarantee you, he did the same thing for Rich, and he did the same thing for Kathy. And as you learn the Bible, that's what he does. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance when you need it. And you never know when you're going to need it. You don't know when crises are going to hit. You don't know when tragedy is going to strike. You don't know when you're going to face death's door. You don't know when these things are going to happen. I mean, Pastor Rich's dad celebrated his 80th birthday that night. You know, blew out his candles, and then he's in heaven. You don't know when these things are going to happen. Therefore, you've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready. And the best way to be ready is to take the Bible and get serious about learning it and hiding it in your heart. I would encourage you, man, begin memorizing the Bible. Even if it's one verse a week, start memorizing God's word, because once it's in there, nobody can ever take it away from you once it's there. And, you know, the other thing is this. Every one of us in here battles sin. In fact, the next point in your handout is this, is that as you hide the Bible in your heart, it gives you victory over sin. And I want you to write that in your handout real quick. It gives you victory over sin. You know, nothing will cause more stress in a believer's life than sin. Nothing. Some of you in here, your heart is not at peace right now. Your heart's not at peace, if you're honest. Your heart isn't, like, really stable. It's not at peace. There's not a tranquility in your heart. It could be, not necessarily, but it could be it's because you're doing things that you know you should not be doing. And when you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, and you're constantly violating your conscience, and you're constantly doing things that you know are directly opposite of what the scriptures say, you're not going to have peace in your life. Sin hinders our fellowship. Sin hinders our walk with Jesus Christ. Sin brings with it many destructive effects. Listen, I do not believe that when you sin as a Christian that you lose your salvation and that God boots you out of the family. Praise the Lord, I believe that once we're in God's family, I believe he keeps us, amen? But I will say this, even though you don't lose your salvation, there is a lot to lose when you sin as a believer. There's a lot to lose. You are not going to have peace. I want you to imagine you're going down Clyde Morris Boulevard at 110 miles an hour. And you're going down Clyde Morris 110 miles an hour, and you got the windows down, and the wind is hitting your face, and you are laughing, and you are giggling, and you are just having the biggest time of your life, and you're thinking, man, this is so much fun, and you're coming up to a red light, and there's cars, four or five cars at the red light, there's kids crossing the street, there's people there, and parents, because there's a school close by, and you're going 110, and you go to brake, and all of a sudden you realize you got no brakes. You got no brakes. And that is exactly what sin does. Sin promises you pleasure and fun and this exhilarating experience. But the problem with that is that many times you go to put the brakes on. It's too late. It's too late. And you're like, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And in Psalm 119:11, it's in your handout. It says, notice, the psalmist says to God, God, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Nothing puts the brakes on temptation to sin like the word of God tucked away in your heart and in your mind. The red light of God's word flashing in our minds is often enough to stop us in our tracks, to stop us from doing things that are going to be destructive. The Bible is your brake system. Without God's word in us, we have no brake system. You got to get it in your heart. You got to get it in your mind. It is so important. And by the way, you cannot depend on Pastor Dan for your intake of God's word. Listen, what you get at church should be a vitamin supplement. It should not be your main course. Your food, your digestion of God's word has to happen through you and God during the week. What you get on Sunday, what you get in your life group, what you get in Bible studies, that's a vitamin supplement. You have got to get into God's word, and you have to learn it for yourself. And every time you heed God's word and you reject that inclination to sin, you strengthen your spiritual life, and you make it easier to refuse sin the next time. For example, if I'm going this way, and I make a bad decision to sin, and I'm going this way, and then I sin again, and then I sin again, and each time I sin, it's a little easier the next time to do it again. And then it's a little easier to do it again. And then it's a little easier to do it again, until finally I'm hanging over the ledge. I don't want to go over the ledge. I don't want to mess my life up. So there comes a point when I have to take personal responsibility, and that the Holy Spirit brings to my mind the words of Christ if I've hit them in my heart, and I say, you know what, Jesus said this, or the Bible says this, and you know what, I don't have to do that. I'm going to go this way. And now all of a sudden, you're heading in a different direction. And you know what, here's the deal. You're not going to just make one decision, and then all of a sudden, it's good for the rest of your life. But I will tell you this. In order to change your life, it's going to happen one decision at a time, one choice at a time, one good decision at a time. Now all of a sudden, one choice here, one choice there, and now all of a sudden, I'm heading in a different direction than I was. This thing of hiding God's word in your heart is very important. Number four is this. Number four is that as you get God's word in you, it enables you to overcome worry. It enables you to overcome worry. Look at the verse there, Colossians 3, 15 and 16. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. And then notice the key to the peace. Look at the next verse. Let the word of Christ, let the Bible dwell where, church? In you. Are y'all with me? Say amen, huh? Let the word of Christ dwell where? In you. Not on your shelf at home. Not on the coffee table at home. Not in your drawer in your bedroom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's the key to peace. And I would encourage you to do this. Memorize the Bible, even if it's one verse a week. Maybe you and your wife say, hey, let's memorize one verse together this week. Maybe you and your girlfriend say, hey, let's memorize one verse this week. Maybe you and your fiance say, hey, let's memorize one verse together. Let's pick one out. Let's memorize it. Let's memorize this together. We'll say it together each day. And you take that verse and you put it in your car, or you put it on your windshield, or you put it on your mirror of your bathroom. And you say, that's my verse for the week. I'm going to memorize that verse. And once you hide that verse in your heart, it'll never leave. It's there. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. It's hidden in your heart. You just know it. It's automatic. As you memorize the Bible, it becomes automatic. It's in you. Now you have a break system. Now the Holy Spirit can remind you when you're about to make a bad decision. Oh, remember this verse? And boom, now you got the break system in place. Now you got a way to be able to overcome worry because you've got that inside of you. You see, here's the deal. We tend to blame our tension and our stress and our short fuses on the latest crisis surrounding us. Well, here's the deal. If we have to eliminate all crisis situations in order to get peace, then we're in trouble. Because you're always going to have problems in crisis. All right? You're destined to be a slave to stress. But here's what I want you to remember. In your handout, get this statement. You ready? Stress has little to do with external pressure. Little to do with it. Stress comes from internal disorder. Stress comes from internal disorder. I want you to imagine that you go into your kid's bedroom and it looks like this. Bring it up on the screen, okay? And you go into your kid's bedroom and that's what it looks like. And then you say to your kid, this room is a mess. I mean, look at this thing. This is terrible. There is clothes everywhere and toys everywhere. Your room is an absolute mess. And then your kid says, well, I know it is, Mom, but you see, it's been windy outside today. Is that going to cut it, yes or no? What do you mean it's windy outside? This room isn't a mess because it's windy outside. This room is a mess because of what you've done in here. Look what you've done. And in the same way, we're not stressed out because of external pressure. That's always going to be there. We're stressed out because of internal disorder. It's something within. And you know what peace is? Peace is God restoring order to our inner spirit, our inner spirit, our inner man. Peace is God restoring order to our inner spirit. You see, you're not stressed out because of that family member that you don't get along with. You're not stressed out because of that friend that's driving you crazy. You're not stressed out because of a coworker that you can't stand or a boss that's just demanding. You're not stressed out because of that college professor. You're not stressed out because of your boyfriend or girlfriend. You are stressed out. The reason why we get stressed out is because of internal disorder. Peace is when God restores that order to our inner spirit. And it begins with that quiet time with God every day. And then it continues with having that regular time of rest, and then it goes along with today, reprogramming your mind by implanting God's word inside of you.